so good to be at the camp. Like our brother just sang the song, we are inside the veil for those days. We really enjoy God's presence. And we can see Him in plain view. We can see our Lord. We can sense Him. We know He's near. And that's satisfying. Nothing can compare to. The first day when we came last Saturday night, when Sister Edith, she talked about the Pentecostal movement, and then she talked about the decline of the Pentecostal movement in the United States and in Europe. And also at the same time, she talked about the other Pentecostal movements in different continents. And then I think right now in the United States, a lot of people try to figure out what's going on, how to revive this Pentecostal movement. So since that night, I started to think about this question. I also asked Brother Graber, and seems like there are so many different things going on. But when Brother Graber talked about the prayer one time, and while he was speaking about it, all of a sudden I get a creak inside of me. Mm-hmm. I start to remember my grandmother, her history. And then from her history, and I see, I think that right now we need to go back to prayers. And I wanted to share her life a little bit so we can encourage each other and we go back to prayers. It was in 1930, around that time, she had a problem with her physical body. And because that time she was a Buddhist, you know, from the temple they made a different mixture of medications for her to drink, to eat or whatever. That didn't help. At that time we were in Shandong, Qingdao. And Qingdao was a colony of Germany. There were many good hospitals and the doctors were the first class. And so she went to all those hospitals, but nobody could hear her problem. And during that time, one of her cousins went to a small place. They said, they talk about Jesus. When you believe Jesus and you've been prayed for, and many sick people get healed. Because my grandma didn't have any other way to go, so she just went. And during the small meeting there, she was saved. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. And God healed her problem. She has a big stomach, a tumor, very hard, and they couldn't do anything about it. So the thing stopped growing and started to shrink and disappeared. From then on, for next 30, 40 years, she never got any sickness. So that's how she started. And because our family was a very traditional family, it's hard for a lady, especially, to believe or foreign religion. So when she went to meetings, my grandpa would lock all the doors, didn't let her in. And because my grandma's family was a very good family, so they have cars. And my grandma had small feet. You know, during that time, the Chinese ladies, they have to bind their feet. It's around 3 inches big. My grandma was, during that stage, so her feet were not big. So it's hard for her to walk. But it's because she loved the Lord. And she went to the church by herself, and during the night, when she came home, couldn't get in. And when she prayed in the spirit, my grandpa would have took off her socks and wave in front of her try to drive out this whatever the spirit is in my grandma. And that's how she started her Christian life. So quickly we come to Taiwan. In 1949, we moved to Taiwan. 1950, yeah, my grandpa went to be with the Lord. I was the oldest grandson, so I have to live at the same room with my grandma as her errand boy. So whenever she needs anything, I have to do it. So from 1950 until 1963, I was in college even that time, 1963. During all those years, I've been with my grandma, and I have a major task. That was to carry her Bible bag with the tracks and hold her, go out to the corner of the street to pass out the tracks. And that's her job. That's what she wanted to do. And I noticed there are so many different reactions to this pass out the tracks. My grandma's family was very good because one of her brother was the first Congress of China, the China Republic started. He was one of the member of the first congressman, and he was designated to be the governor of the Shandong province. So her family was very high class family. But when she started to distribute the tracts, people's reaction was so bad, you know. But she loved the souls somehow. So she kept going that. I've been with her for those years. And not only pass out tracts to save souls, and she can pray for people to have them healed. There are so many sickness were healed. Amen. And also I followed her into different houses, and only she and me, and she just cast out demons and so forth. It was scaring, but if you want to know more, I can tell more story in Chinese later. So through those years, I saw from my grandma the gifts of the Spirit and the love of souls, love to evangelize to people, so obvious. And there's a simple faith inside her. I remember one time there was a big earthquake in Taiwan. The whole house was shaking and things fall apart, fall off. My uncle and my mother tried to escort her out of the room. She said, no, I just pray. God will keep me here. You guys go out. So he asked everybody to get out of the house. And she asked me to stay. I don't know, because I was her errand boy. Somehow, even though the whole thing was shaking, but I didn't have the fear. Amen. Even though I didn't have the faith in God, but I have faith in her faith in God. That's how I saw her. So during those years, when she died in 1963, at least 200 to 300 people were saved because of her personal ministry. So when brother talked about the prayer, when the sister Edison talked about the Pentecostal movement, I started to put things and start to think about my grandma. And that's the Pentecostal old sense. And that's so real in her life. And then I say, why she has this kind of a gift, the love for the souls and the power and the spiritual gifts. Then I remember that time when I was with her, she prayed so much. How many nights she woke up during the night, cried and prayed in the spirit, in tongues, and named the different names and prayed for them, cried out, sometimes laughed, sometimes cried. Many times I couldn't sleep during the night. And that's how I put the things together somehow. I never thought about why my mother had such kind of a power or this kind of a love, a faith in God. I think that's because she had such a profound prayer life. Every night she would ask me to pray. I have to kneel down, pray. I put my head in front, because during so many years I've learned how to have the prayer. I kneel down and I can sleep. Sometimes I stay too long, she kind of noticed that I sleep. Woken up. And this is what I felt, that the prayer is the key. We needed to go back to pray. If we go back to the Bible, our brother talked about Jesus' prayer life. We know in Acts, when the Pentecostal started, it was through prayers, through the tarry meetings, wait upon the Lord and pray in faith, in expectation, in trust the Lord's, God's promise. I don't think the people at that time had any doubt that God's promise would not come. That's why they can continue 10 days and just pray. And if we look at Acts, almost every event was started with the prayers. So that's what I, somehow this time, I learned that we need to go back to prayer, at least myself. And I also find out why my grandma, a little woman, even shorter than my wife, and she has such a God's presence in her, and it's so real. The things we mentioned in Bible, I almost saw in her life. So I wanted to go back to pray. And this is the first point I wanted to just share with you. The second point is one time when Brother Graber also talked about something he mentioned, that if you, as a minister, if you don't have a prayer life, you don't study your Bible, how can you minister? I think when he said those words, it stuck into my heart. How can we minister if we don't have a prayer life? If we don't read God's word, we don't keep God's words, obey God's word, trust God's word. And then we started to expand on that. If we don't wait upon the Lord, how can we wait? How can we minister? If we don't seek God, how can we minister? If we don't trust God, how can we minister? If we don't praise through that God changed me, how can we minister? So all the things happening in camp is something that God wants us to go to do. If we wanted to minister to God and His people, we have to take the camp life back to our daily life. And that's why I want to share this tonight, just for this minute. Let's listen, let's hear God's word, and let us go back and do it. I think we heard too much. Really, we heard all our life, all those things, but how much we have really put into practice, and how much all those things are real in our lives. And that's something maybe we need to think about it. Maybe God will give us grace that He will let us to carry this back. Really, we want God's grace, His power. We want to trust Him. We'll do those things that we hear, we heard in this camp. I think that God has prepared so much for us. Just let us go in and just do it, to practice. We heard we have to be diligent. In the earthly things, we have to spend time and we have to concentrate, we have to do those things. I don't think that eternity, we can just go easily, carelessly, and just go in. We cannot enter into God's fullness. We want that God give us this mercy and grace, help us, that let's do what we heard. God bless us.
Jesus.
And in fellowship sweet, we must say.